Hey there, WNBA Nation. This is Jason Snow, editor and co-host here of the show. Just wanted to orient everyone real quick. This is part two of an episode. So we originally recorded as a single episode our reactions to both of the first round games, but we ran a bit long, so this is part two. So in our first episode, which released earlier today, which I highly recommend listening to if you have not yet, we covered the New York Liberty and the Phoenix Mercury, the game that they had, and then the lead-in between the Phoenix Mercury and the Seattle Storm, which is going to be happening round two tomorrow on Sunday. And now this episode is going to be a reaction to the Dallas Wings playing the Chicago Sky, and then obviously the lead-in between the Sky and the Lynx, which will be the round two game there. So that's where this is. We're going to just jump right in because we're kind of cutting in halfway through an episode. So there's not going to be a whole introduction, introducing all the hosts and everything like we normally have. So with that being the case, let me just real quick remind you, if you want to connect with us, you can find us over on Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod. If you want to watch the show live, you can go over to twitch.tv/WNBA Nation. That's a great way to connect with us and also support the show. If you are in a position to give a donation, subscribe, do any of those things, that really helps us with some of our operating costs, et cetera, et cetera. And if you want to rep some cool merch, go over to wnbnation.storenv.com. I believe that's most of the plugs. So you can find the links to all those things in the description of the episode. And with no further ado, let me toss it over to my co-hosts.
7654321.
Hey guys, this is Liz Cambage.
This is Nikki Collins.
What up, guys? This is Esther
Starkey. Hey, this is Monty Lee Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
Dallas versus Chicago. More or less, you know, obviously Chicago Sky 81, Dallas 64. I would venture to say that this game was a bit closer than the score admits because there was a real push right at the end that Chicago got. It was a 5-point game heading into the fourth. Dallas was making a run. It looked like they could keep things together. Dallas just seems like that team that perennially will be one piece away, and then they get that piece, and then they're still one piece away somehow. Quicksand situation, but it's a tough case there. But obviously a lot of the narratives here, Kalia Copper,
if any part of you at some
point was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, like was questioning all-star nods and what she's been able to accomplish this season, it's shut up time. She's made I agree with Logan wholeheartedly. Like, they have a lot of players. There've been so many great Chicago players the last couple of years. And we've played that, like, but who's the star game, and that it's becoming Copper is a lot of fun.
If you go back and listen to a lot of the regular season episodes, I know there were several discussions that Logan and I had in particular about the fact that everybody's saying it's Candace's team or it's Courtney Vandersloot's team. This is Kalia Copper's team. And it has been pretty much all season. And if you ask Candace Parker is the first to admit it as well. Listen to what she said post-game.
You know, I think you should be talking to Ka right now. Ka carried us energy, not just in the first quarter, but in the third quarter. And we couldn't get a stop. She was the one that kept us going. So, honestly, I'm so proud of her. I mean, she's been doing it all season. But to see her do it in the playoffs and her energy, I mean, she just defensively... her and Sloot really finished it for us.
She said, y'all should be interviewing Kalia. Yeah, like, why are you talking to me? Talk to Kalia. You know, like she's
like
the one who...
You didn't get a double-double, by the way. Like, you weren't 3 assists short of a triple-double.
Exactly. It's not that Candace didn't have a bad game or anything.
I think
100% is her team.
She's transcended being Chicago's future and now is, like, the future, capital F, in this league. Like,
yeah.
Like, Asia Wilson's going to be there. But Nigelini's going to be there, and Kalia Copper's going to be there. Like, those are names you should just get used to, which is really exciting because at the beginning of the year, when we were talking about how stacked the Chicago contender was, she was probably like fifth or sixth on the list.
Yeah,
and now here she is showing out. So she was a
great value pickup that turned into the show. Super awesome.
I was really encouraged by her play in this game, but man, even in playoff victories that are like fairly definitive, they ended up winning by what, like 17? When all was said and done, it was closer than that. Like Steve said, it was like the 6-point game with 5 minutes, 6 minutes to go. I'm still like not sold on this Sky team at all. Like I see their account, like their Twitter account is tweeting like, there's no ceiling on this team, like Sky victory. Like we got, you know, we won in the playoffs. And I'm like, I want to be happy for you, but like, I just don't trust you. Like, and I should feel like, oh, like I picked Chicago to win that game. I knew Candace Parker wouldn't let them lose at home.
Yeah.
Copper played well. Like they got a little scare from Dallas and then they put him away. But Dallas is so young. Like Dallas had no business really being in this game at all. And they still kind of pushed him. And that's, maybe that's a credit
to
Dallas.
The thing. But, I loved the way they structured this lineup coming into this. I liked the setup of the starting five. I liked that you had Dolson and Diamond as kind of the six and seven coming off the bench, because it made it so all of your rotations had proper spacing. Everything was able to move smoothly, and it looked like that was going to be the narrative through the night after that first quarter. And then I think I messaged you guys and said, like, oh, I forgot the Chicago Sky were going to remind me why I'm not allowed to praise the Chicago Sky that highly, because they found a way to let them back in when it really seemed like they were the driver's seat. There's an inconsistency there that is, as a fan of this squad and a big fan of so many of these players, one of our host's daughters is their favorite players on this squad. It's frustrating when they put it in that situation. They were able to turn it into a 17-point win. I'm not sitting here and acting like this was an escapery thing, but this thing could have been on ice at the half, and it just didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
No. There are some serious red flags, even in this video. I mean, if you're not watching on stream, you should be. It's super fun to watch the show as we record on stream. I'm wearing my Sky hat. I'm showing support. I went all season trying not to jinx them because I really thought this could have been their year. Over the course of the year, we saw some, you know, some troubling things. They started with that awful losing streak, and then they kind of came to themselves a little bit. I'm looking at the box score of this game, and it like, I was hoping that it was like better than I expected, because like I watched the game thinking like, man, they're not shooting particularly well. They don't look particularly good, but maybe the data says I'm wrong. Wow, they went 4-for-21 from beyond the arc. That's not going to get it done in the next round. You're not going to win a three-game, five-game series with anything like that. And then they really benefited. And this, I didn't want to tweet this because I didn't want to sound like I was calling somebody out. But when you're a young team like Dallas, sometimes you have bad games. And Marina Mabry, I think, is the second biggest cog to making that team's offense go. And she just had a crappy game.
Bad game.
And I'm sure she'd be the first to admit it. I'm not trying to call her out. She didn't shoot well. She played 17 minutes. I think you could tell she was frustrated towards the end. And to me, that's the difference between Dallas a year or two from now and Dallas now, is if they're making that push in the fourth quarter where, like I said, I think 7 minutes left, it's like 55-61. Technically, you're two possessions away from offing this Chicago team that they're at home. You probably shouldn't even be that close. You need Mabry to be there for you. Like you can't just have Arike out there shooting 30 shots and hoping that enough of them fall. And through this season, there have been times where Sabali would step up and hit some big shots. Mabry would step up and hit some big shots, and they would win close games. We saw them beat Seattle in overtime early in the season with games like that. And it just sucks that they don't have the consistency or the experience yet to be able to do that. You mentioned at the beginning of the segment, Steve, that like they're always a piece away. They kind of keep losing their pieces, so they never get to enjoy the fruits of you know, like they didn't get to enjoy Liz being what she is now, and you know, other players have been good and they've left. Their team is now entirely consisting of like first and second year players. And if they can hold on to enough of them, I think you get to be more consistent, and Mabry gets to step up and hit some shots in that fourth quarter. And maybe this is a much closer game down the stretch.
Yeah, so I think
it's too soon for them.
The way they set this lineup really frustrated me. You know, yes. if I take over as a GM for the Wings, I sit, you know, I sit Vicky down and I say, I never want to see Satu Sabli off of the bench ever again. I don't understand. 22 minutes. 5 for 10, yeah. That's still 50%. But yeah, you missed 5 shots early. I get that. But that's a player that's playing 30 points a night. I don't understand why she's not a mainstay of your starting five. Kayla Thornton and Bella Allery, for various reasons, I'm not trying to de-justify it, but we're seemingly non-factors out of that starting five. Also, I like Alicia Gray starting in that backcourt. Why is she only taking 5 shots? Did none of you watch 3x3 Olympics? This is someone
that's a great point.
Should be given a lot more opportunities. If Mabry's looking cold, why is Gray not also in your arsenal? The other side of it, I sent this over to you guys. I came into the season pretty critical of Arike. I've turned a lot on that opinion. I understand a lot of what she's going through. I think my frustration is not with Arike Gumbawala. It's how Dallas uses her in not putting her in situations where she excels. And one of the biggest things was, for goodness sake, can we stop doing this spot contested three thing? Of that's how we respond when the other team scores, is hope that she chucks one and that it works, because it's clearly your system. I sent you guys the Phil from Hercules line of like, can you quit the head slicing thing? Like, it's clearly not working. Get her to the hole. She's either going to score, she's going to get to the line. We've seen that happen. Or she's going to find an open outlet. That's getting Gray her shots. That's getting Jefferson their shots. That's getting Izzy Harrison opportunities. It's probably going to get Mabry more open looks than she's getting. It helps that entire system in so many ways. I don't know that they're fully confident in how they're handling the personnel. And they need to really introspectively sit down and overthink it. I worry that Dallas is overthinking Sabali, similar to how Indiana has overthought Tierra McCowan. And it just kind of has to stop. She's a mainstay part of that team. And it needs to move. And that's on top of everything you said about Mabry. Like, she had an off night. She had a very off night. But that's another one of, like, lean in, let that confidence play a role, and see what happens. And just, yeah, I agree with you on the experience thing. I think they need kind of a locker room leader somewhere in that pace. You know, I'm not saying this exact person, but, like, your Candice Dupree level type player who can be there to...
Yeah.
Be a guiding
voice. She was the one available this last year. There are some studs available in free agency this year. We'll have plenty of time in the offseason to talk about that. But if you go out and get, you know, if you know, there are going to be some teams that decide they're going to head towards a rebuild and not sign their veterans that are making lots of money. Dallas is in a position where they can throw that money at somebody. So you might see, like, I don't think Minnesota would ever let this happen, but like Sylvia Fowles is an unrestricted free agent. Like, there's going to be names in the offseason that maybe you can be like, hey, come cement this team together.
I mean,
it'll be good.
Who you have a frustrated Tina Charles right now that might not mind playing with some young Hoopers.
Oh, absolutely.
She also is really driven to try and get a ring. So I don't know if she'll feel like Dallas is the place for that. But maybe if pairing with Arike and having a real, like, monster front court with Satu, like, maybe. But it's frustrating because we saw some of the most fun basketball out of this Dallas team this season. Some of the most fun, some of the most fun regular season games this year came out of Dallas. Win or lose, they made a lot of games more interesting than they had any right to be. And it's like, they need to start rewarding those efforts with wins. It's time. Yeah. And it's kind of that case of you kind of need to do what you need to do. So I'm really intrigued with where they take it. I don't know that they're going to make much of a splash in the offseason as much as figure out how we can support all of these names and abilities. And also just, are we truly magnifying the level of talent we have? I think, like, Queer is another one that I think, like, I expect to see more investment in her potentially after the offseason. Like, I wonder if her finally getting some legs under her, like, that may pick up as well. So there's a lot of unspoken mysteries. Once she gets out of
rookie jail, like, all WNBA teams draft these rookies, and they're like, oh, we're so excited we got the player we wanted, and then they just, like, tell them to sit down and shut up for 30 games. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one too. That's just like, I think there's some unleashedness there that could work. And there's a couple of youngs that they're just going to have to cut loose. Like I'm very interested with what decisions they make, because I feel like when it comes to what Dallas could change, very few names on this roster are safe. And it's intriguing. They could go a lot of different directions. And we'll see how hard I throw something at the wall, or jump in the air. I'm excited to see where they take it, but let's talk Chicago heading to Minneapolis. We have a chance at the DSU. We're going to be getting Candace Sill again, freaking again. These two are destined to do this forever. The most unspoken player on player rivalry in WNBA history. I love that when these two clash, they don't necessarily always jaw at each other, but you can tell that the history's. You know what the perfect example of is? Creed 2, when Rocky and Drago have the stare off outside the ring right before the fight. And that one quick moment, no words, and they just look at each other, and you feel all the history those two characters have had throughout these films. That's Candace and Syl whenever they look at each other. It's like, we go back. this has the potential to be a really fun matchup. Of course, comes down to what Chicago we're going to see. I think we know what Minnesota we're going to see, because they tend to bring out that product pretty consistently. What's the storyline for you guys coming into this matchup?
For me, there's a quote that's been echoing in my mind ever since she said it, and it's when Coach Reed said, "I don't think a lot of people are picking us like as contenders this year." She said it about middle of the season. I think it was even before the Olympic break. And like, it wasn't even in like a ticked off way. It wasn't like, give us some respect. It was just like, all right, if that's the horse you want to bet on, we'll just make sure you lose. Like,
yeah.
And ever since then, they've pretty much proven their point. I am just as scared of Minnesota now as I was throughout the season. I have lots of questions about Chicago's consistency. I don't like that they didn't shoot the three well. I don't like that they turned the ball over. They've got like the greatest assister of all time leading their team at the guard position and still only had 19 total assists tonight in like a game where they scored a lot of points. They're not moving the ball as well. I have a hard time finding a way through Chicago to win this game. I mean, outside of Candace Parker just giving us like a "I'm Candace Parker" performance, which is always in the cards. I don't know. It's weird because you look at the rosters and you feel like there's no way that Chicago doesn't have the best player in this game. And in a single elimination, that's usually all that matters. But I'm not picking against Minnesota. You can't make I'm not doing it.
It's really hard on paper to not pick Minnesota. So preseason, I was really high on Minnesota, and I felt kind of oddly like alone. I thought a lot of people were like, really? I think they had a fantastic offseason, and it took them a little bit. They started off really rough. If you remember, they started off with like four losses to begin the season.
Weird.
Since June 19th, it is September 23rd, about to be the 24th. Since June 19th, Minnesota has lost three games. Those three games were to Las Vegas and then Connecticut twice. This team is much better than everybody is giving them credit for. They are the three seed, and nobody's talking about how good Minnesota is. And if you look at the margin of victory in these games, they don't have one possession wins. Most of their victories are by 8+ points, going all the way back to the early part of the season. This is a very good team. Very good team that nobody's giving their due. I think in our prediction episode that we just got done releasing, I put Minnesota in the finals because I think they're that good. That being said, Chicago, we saw today during stretches of this game, Chicago looks about as good as any team can look. Through certain stretches,
they're literally 16 and 16. Is anything more indicative of this squad of like,
exactly
like who are you getting today?
They're so inconsistent. They looked so dominant through portions of this game against Dallas tonight. And then all of a sudden And it seemed like that was the case during the season, right? They'd come through, they'd have like a three-game stretch where they were just like so good. And then they'd lose to like Indiana and Atlanta across like a three-game stretch. And you were just like, what's going on with Chicago? So Minnesota is much more consistent. They've been more dominant. And they don't lose to anyone outside of Las Vegas and Connecticut. Like they're so good.
My question, I have a question. Real quick,
I would
about
be terrified
losses.
To play Minnesota.
How many of those were at home?
Zero of them. In fact, nobody has a better home record. Nobody has a better home record in the league other than Connecticut. Minnesota has the second best home record in the league. We're playing in Minnesota. Like they're 9-1 over their last 10 games. Like I would be terrified if I was anybody in the playoffs, maybe outside of Connecticut. Connecticut, I'd still feel really confident if I'm Connecticut. Anybody else, Minnesota's my second team that I do not want to play in the playoffs. And Chicago's going to meet them face first on Sunday, and I can't wait for it.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, my question is, if I'm the Sky, if I'm to pull off this upset, what must happen?
You have to keep Clarendon from moving the ball. Like, I think there's so many players. I know that's weird to say because, like, usually it's like shut the scoring of X player down. There's so many players on Minnesota that can score in bulk. You have Powers. You have McBride who can go off in any given night. You've got Sylvia Fowles, who is actually making me question my take from a second ago, because maybe Fowles could be the best player in this game. She absolutely has potential to be that. But their main distributor is Clarendon. I feel like I don't have numbers for you on that, but you look down the list on ESPN, and like her and Dangerfield split, you know, leading the team in assists any given night. And I think she keeps that offense humming. And obviously you have to deal with Fowles on the defensive end. I think Chicago's going to have no problem scoring in this game. So I'm predicting a high scoring matchup. But you have to drive that assist number down. You have to force them to play ISO ball and kind of get away from the offense they like to run. Cause if they get into a groove at home, like Kyle just pointed out, like they don't lose at home and they don't generally lose in the playoffs.
I like that Clarendon take a lot. Ever since Clarendon joined Minnesota, they have had as big an impact on this team as anybody else. Since they joined the team, it's basically been like W's. Like you very rarely see Minnesota take an L
to the point,
since Clarendon joined the squad.
I think they've been thought of as like one of the teams on the outside looking in for most of the year because it's been Connecticut, Seattle, Vegas in some order. I think, like you said, I think they're number two. Like we're all scared to death of Connecticut, but we don't have to deal with them yet. I think they're better than Vegas right now.
I think so too, because if you take away,
if you take
the current Lynx roster, that first four losses. They played so poorly to start the season and when Clarendon joined in, all of a sudden they've looked as good as Connecticut has. You know, I think they're my number two scariest team right now.
Yeah.
I think they're better than Vegas.
Consider them a dark horse contender or an underdog contender until, like, if they match up against Connecticut, I'll be like, all right, Connecticut's playing the best basketball of anybody right now. But even then, if they win it all and you look at their roster and they're like hoisting the trophy, you're going to be like, oh, why didn't I think about them being contender? Because, like, it's obvious.
I mean it when I look at this roster, especially because their depth is what helps them there. You've got Natalie Chonwa getting her legs back, which is, I think, going to help that this even more, which is frightening. This is an ironic analogy because the lynx, the animal, is a cat, but it legitimately it's like watching a pack of dogs. Like it is physically frightening when they get their rhythm. like a vicious team that can overwhelm you. They're conditioned. They score efficiently. They're Connecticut's really close. I might call them the best defensive team in the league. It's a close call. This is just on a level that is immense. And we talk about Fee. We talk about fouls. No one seems to be talking about how Kayla McBride has been one of the most efficient scorers in the entire league. It just happens to be there. This roster is at such an intense level. It would, you're going to need like Chicago's going to need a Cunningham-esque type of experience. Like someone's going to need to catch them by surprise and pull this off, because I think Minnesota is just that good. I don't think they're looking past this game, but I think they understand that they have a lot more to accomplish. So I'll cut right into it. If anyone wants to dissent, you can. This to me just feels like a very comfortable Minnesota win. Like I see this being probably a 10-point differential at the very least.
Ooh.
I could see Chicago, kind of similar to what Chicago did to Dallas. I could see them keeping it within 2 to 3 scores throughout the night, and then the wheels just come off partway through the fourth. And that's kind of where I see it. So I could see them coming and firing, be a potentially close thing. You know that Parker's going to come in with a lot of energy. She's going to want to play well. You know that she loves that building. She revels in how much Minnesota fans hate her. Like that, you know, she's going to love, coming up and playing into that. Copper's got good energy. I think that roster has a lot in them. But once Minnesota is in a position where they know that they can flip the switch and call it, they'll call it. So I think this will be a fairly comfortable Lynx victory. I'm curious what different takes you guys have as far as predictions
go. I have all four quarters wire to wire being a 2-possession game, like, or less.
Okay.
Like it just feels like one of those, like it's going to fluctuate between 4 and 7 points or something. And every time it gets to like, oh, it's tied, we're going to freak out. And then I think the Lynx will be able to push it back a little bit. I've watched my own team play from behind in so many of those games that I know how tense they can be. But I think the whole way is just going to be Chicago's going to be looking for that run, and Minnesota's going to be having to answer and continue to hold them at arm's reach and be the better team. I do have Minnesota winning, but I have it closer to like a 6-point victory. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, probably like 90. We'll call it 93-87, which is something I just pulled out of my butt. But like, it's going to be up there. I think maybe it might be one of those games where it's like the first one to 100 wins. Like both teams are just going to be scoring at will, and it could be something like that. Or maybe Fowles is playing really well on the defensive end, and it's a little more of a grind. But
I guess I just have it.
It's going to be like real close.
I guess I just haven't seen enough evidence to make me comfortable in saying Chicago can pull off that level of energy for 4 quarters. Like I don't trust that it seems like a roster right now that as soon as there's a blip on the radar, as soon as they trip over a crack in the sidewalk, the frustration lies in and they tend to get off kilter. I don't think the game will blow up. Like I just see a similar scenario to how things ended with them against Dallas. I think they're within arm's reach, but I see by the end of the night, it's just kind of the gas will run out.
I know you guys have all watched games like this where after a game where it's like so close, as soon as it gets like 8 or 10 points, it feels insurmountable.
Yeah.
And then I think that's kind of what Steve was saying. Like by the end of the game, if Chicago runs out and Minnesota's defense finally puts the clamps down, like maybe that's how it ends. But it certainly feels like a game where like a 5 or 7 point run is like, ooh, like in a different game, that might be like a 10 point run.
The game might as well end with 5 minutes left, but that last 5 minutes will propel the difference in score to a lot more than it maybe needs.
Now, I am banking on a big, I think Kalia Copper will be great again, but I am banking on a big Candace Parker performance. She took 15 shots against Dallas. She only made 5. She ended up with 11 and 15. I think she's going to be obviously needed on the defensive end quite a bit. Maybe that'll gas her, but I expect more offense from Kansas in this one. I don't think they're ready to go home. In fact, I should get this take in now because it's the best time to do so. I think if Chicago loses before the semifinal round, their season is a failure. And I think the players in the locker room believe that. So I think they're going to play with their hair on fire in this one.
They're a D- at coming in at 500 with the energy that people gave them. They have every right to be quite mad at how the system is right now. Yeah. I don't know what that translates to change-wise or what they do with the roster, this, that, or the other. I have no idea.
I'm wearing my hat. I like the Sky team a lot. If they don't have a good showing in the semifinal round, like if they get blanked 3-0, I'm not a happy camper. The way that they came into this season, the expectations that
were set, nearly an odds-on finals favorite.
Yeah, I think you need to not only get to the Final Four, but you need to show something. Or there needs to be some hard decisions in the offseason.
Yeah.
If this was a 5-game series, I give Chicago about a 3% chance of advancing out against Minnesota.
Wow.
Like I mean that, like, because of Chicago's inconsistency and Minnesota's absolute dominance through the vast majority of this season, Minnesota is they're just that team. Now, what's scary is this is not a series. This is a single elimination game. And unfortunately, a single elimination games, anything can happen. I mean, we just about saw a New York Liberty team who looked terrible. Probably didn't deserve to be in the playoffs based on how they've been playing for the back half of this season. Like, looked so bad. Come in and almost take out a blazing hot Phoenix Mercury team in one game. It came down to a single point. So that I hesitate to make a huge bold prediction on Minnesota's side. However, I'm going to temper my expectations and make it only about 90% chance that Minnesota wins this, and probably wins it by 15. That's a tempered expectation. I'm that high on Minnesota, and I'm just going to be open about it. When Chicago wins on Sunday, you all can come at me on Twitter and give me all the hate, and that's fine. I'm a true believer in this Minnesota squad, and I think they're my favorites to make the finals along with the Connecticut Sun. And so if I truly believe that, they should be able to handle a 500 level team.
Gosh dang, so it. I would Minnesota. Love that finals matchup. The bruiser on bruiser matchup would be freaking fun.
We deserve that.
That would be good. That would be good times. That'd be a good slugfest.
Good basketball.
I love it. It'll be a good finals no matter who's paired up most likely, but that just would be fun as hell. Let's get this out really fast right now. I'm not want to turn this into a discussion, and I honestly don't think it's anything anyone refutes with. After tonight, man, whatever we got to do to retire this one and done business, for me, it's time. Even if it's just a 3-game series to open things up. I have my feeling on how the playoffs should be structured. I don't think anyone would agree with my feeling probably, but I just don't. Maybe if you want to do the first round play-in, I guess. But man, I'm watching that Phoenix New York game, and I'm like, you're not telling me you don't want to see at least one more time. Like, I just
100%.
It sucked. It's like, what, one more?
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you are, I don't think that only the top two seeds should be guaranteed a series. If you're the number three team right now, like Minnesota, you shouldn't have to face a single elimination, quote unquote, wild card type game.
I agree that
you get a first round bye, but it's basically you're just delaying the shot of a one and done. So if we want to take first round, a single elimination, wild card of seeds 5 through 8, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to argue that. I'd want more, but I understand that there's a limit to how much season, you know, Logan brought this up. You can't like have 5 and 7 game series all the way through, or else you're going to have a longer post game or postseason than you did actual regular season. So I get that. So if you want to do first round, great. But the second round,
in a perfect world, I'm fine with that because I would just tack on then make the season longer. But I,
right, exactly.
I'm asking for the farm there, but I mean, it's that's the whole thing. Is,
right.
Now, the change that I would make that would just change things immediately is as much as I enjoy the drama of a wild card game, like a single elimination game, with a 12 team league, I think it's okay to let the first round be what is that? The 6 through 8 seed, like the bottom 4 seeds, like let them fight it out. But after that, to your point, the 3 and 4 seeds should not be susceptible to a one game elimination. There's a reason football is a weekly sport, so it's its own thing. But there's a reason that like no other professional sport allows its best teams the opportunity to get like snake bit on one bad night and then not be in the playoffs. Like the whole point of a playoff series is that you want the best team to win out. And I think a best of 3 is still a fair ask. Mm-hmm. If you're an underdog like Dallas or the Liberty and you sneak game 1 tonight, let's say either of those teams win tonight, you know, win one of the next 2 and you get to progress, you get to make the deep run, and that's fun. Like it's doable. It's not as tall of an ask as winning 4, but it should be a little something. You know, I realize that you can't have like a 12 team league with 8 teams playing 5 to 7 game series against one another, the whole, like, it's just too, you're basically shafting 4 teams. Like, you're just like, you only get half a season, basically. Like, so to Steve's point, more teams, more games in the regular season, more playoff games, more is better. We want more.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, in my head, I almost consider the capital O official playoff field is 6 teams, and the 5 through 8. You have similar to the MNBA where it's play-in version type. And then it's because then what you do when you have like the official pool be 6 teams is you don't allow the top 2 teams to get 2 bye rounds, because I don't like that. And then after that play-in, it goes down to then you sequence those up. I think best of 3 is fair. And then I think best of 5 is fair.
Yeah.
I personally would make the finals a 7-game series, but
absolutely.
I also wouldn't mind it being a 9-game series or a 40-game series. I like series.
I will say this. I know we're running short on time. I do get bothered about the double bye because I'm selfish and I want to see the best teams play in the playoffs, not just wait around to get next after the first
two. I get frustrated that in an 8-team pool, you just get the semifinals. It's just kind of frustrating that in a 4-round structure, you get the semifinals.
Yeah. I actually like that they reseed. The MNBA doesn't do the reseeding thing. I think it's totally fine to say, hey, if you're the underdog and you somehow get through the wild card, and you upset the next team you face in a 3-game series, you're going to get the Connecticut Sun. Like, the Sun get, like, some benefit.
Yeah, I like the reseeding. I think the reseeding is kind of fun.
That's enough of a benefit without giving you an extra bye.
With a series structure, by the way, reseeding is so possible with the series structure. A one-and-done structure like March Madness isn't possible for logistical purposes, because then you're asking round by round a team to be like, for the next, like, 3 days, we have no idea what city you need to go to play one game. Yeah. I get why that's not possible. I would actually say after every pot of games, like 64-32, then reseed the Sweet 16. I actually think that would be fine. But that's me being an idiot. It also would make filling out a bracket nearly impossible.
Oh, the worst.
But
no, I like the WNBA playoffs the way they are. I like that they reward the best teams. I just think they could balance it out a little more and introduce a little bit more drama and treat us to, like, I don't want the Connecticut Sun to sit on their hands for 2 weeks waiting for their turn to, like, prove that they're still the best team. Like, I want to see them play. So,
yeah, I agree. I think I just think that the one and done structure is just a bit frustrating. And even if it goes down to 3, in most cases, a best of 3 means you get 1 extra game. Like, listen, this came down to a ticky tack foul for New York. So guess what? You get 1 more shot. And let's see if you can even it up and make it interesting for a 3rd game.
Imagine.
And then if you lose that game, then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine if Coach Walt goes off on the officiating tonight, and then they, you know, 12 hours from now, they're back in the gym at shoot around, like, you know, we're going again. Here we go.
Yeah, let's see what you got in you. I think that's what makes it interesting. That's why series structures are fun for me, because it's the narratives get to build there. I love what Derek Ahan, that moment and everything against Chicago, but it sucks to be like, Chicago doesn't get to be pissed off in the locker room and be like, in game two, that doesn't happen. Like, you don't get to have that narrative. You just go home, and it sucks. So that's my feeling on it. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way too, but we'll have to see. That said, we've taken up a heck of a lot more real estate than I think any of us were planning on. For those of within our live Twitch, which of course you can always check us out live on Twitch when we record these episodes, thank you for sticking around with us. But I really think that's everything that we have in the running here. Is there anything else any of y'all wanted to call out before we put a bow on this guy?
Just be ready for round two. It's going to come at you quick. So
yep, we'll see you on Sunday.
Sunday, there. 3 Eastern, 5 Eastern. Weird early games. At least it's not a 9 a.m. game like the NWSL championship is apparently going to be. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but that's pretty crappy. CBS gave the NWSL championship game a 9 a.m. slot.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and I do. There's one more thing. If listen to the end of this episode so that you get our awesome like closing, you know, seconds here, and then just let your podcast roll to the next WNBA Nation episode, because Rachel Ellering and Steve talked for like an hour in a really awesome interview. And if you haven't heard it yet, just let the good times roll. You got the weekend.
Just listen to our last couple episodes.
Go ahead and pick that one up.
I seriously mean this when I say that's the most fun I've ever had doing an interview. And we've had some super fun interviews.
And shout out to Rachel for she's hanging out with us on our Twitch stream. So if y'all want to come hang out, and say what's up.
The queen of strong
and
smile.
Let her know how much we appreciate
herself.
That.
The absolute freaking. Well, we're talking rock star. I'm ready to just call her a co-host, but
if she wants to be,
that's advantageous.
Go for it. Come on up.
We'll call
on
the show.
She's already
executive.
She's
producer.
Already friend of the show. But yeah. If she wants to come on a second and third time, I feel like we can just give her like, she's like,
we can't pay you, but you can be.
I think executive producer is a good fella. But yeah, definitely check that out. Check out Impact on Thursdays on Access TV. Bound for Glory is coming up. It's going to be in Vegas next month. Knockouts Knockdown on October 8th. We're just gonna riff on all the Impact plugs tonight, but check all that out. But no, that interview was super insanely fun, and I hope that Rachel gets rewarded with a D appearance on Sunday, because it's just about time. So
we need DT.
Yeah, especially for the Seattle matchup, it's got to happen. But thank you so much for following us here for the first playoff episode. We will be back after the next round of games and get things prepped for the semifinals. And then it's the finals. Then, for goodness sake, the season's over. And then it's all the fun until then. But until all of that, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of WNBA Nation. Till we see you again, I'm Steve Schwartzman.
I'm Kyle Haywood.
I'm Logan Jones.
And we got you next time.